Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Madness, A Bipolar Life is Maria Hornbacher's memoir about living with type I rapid cycle bipolar disorder, written after her earlier eating disorder memoir, Wasted. The book revisits childhood, adolescence, marriage, addiction, self-harm, hospitalization, diagnosis, and treatment through the lens of an illness that was not fully identified until her mid-20s. Rather than presenting bipolar disorder as a tidy medical case, Hornbacher describes how mood instability can distort memory, identity, relationships, appetite, risk, and judgment. Its purpose is both literary and explanatory. It gives readers access to the subjective experience of mania, depression, mixed states, and recovery, while also challenging simplified public ideas about mental illness. The memoir is especially notable for its intensity, its focus on early symptoms, and its refusal to separate psychological suffering from the social and bodily consequences that follow. Now, it is not a clinical manual, but it has become an important personal account in bipolar literature. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, rapid cycle bipolar disorder as a lived bodily and mental condition. The central subject of madness is not bipolar disorder as an abstract diagnosis, but type I rapid cycle bipolar disorder as it is experienced from inside the mind and body. Hornbacher describes mood shifts that are not simply changes in feeling but total alterations in perception, impulse, energy, time, and self-control. Mania is shown as expansive, restless, seductive, and dangerous, while depression is not merely sadness but a state of collapse, numbness, and threat. The importance of rapid cycling is that it compresses extremes into a pattern that can make ordinary continuity almost impossible. The reader sees why the disorder can be mistaken for willfulness, addiction, personality, artistic temperament, or adolescent rebellion. This framing matters because it resists the popular habit of treating bipolar disorder as a simple alternation between happiness and sadness. Hornbacher emphasizes that the illness affects decision-making, bodily care, sexuality, sleep, hunger, and fear. The memoir, therefore, makes the diagnosis concrete: bipolar disorder is not only something named by doctors, but a force that reorganizes everyday life before it is named. Secondly, early symptoms and the problem of recognizing childhood bipolar disorder. One of the most distinctive dimensions of the memoir is Hornbacher's attempt to trace bipolar symptoms back into early childhood. She does not present childhood as an innocent prelude to adult illness. Instead, she suggests that volatility, terror, intensity, and dysregulation were present long before a formal diagnosis. This aspect gives the book a place in debates about whether and how bipolar disorder appears in children. The memoir does not function as scientific proof, but it does show the consequences of failing to recognize severe psychiatric distress early. Hornbacher's childhood behavior is filtered through family culture, medical uncertainty, and social assumptions about troublesome children. The result is a portrait of a child whose suffering is visible but not accurately understood. This topic is important because it shifts attention from diagnosis as a single event to diagnosis as a delayed process shaped by language, family interpretation, and medical knowledge at the time. The book asks readers to consider how many destructive behaviors may be attempts to manage internal states that neither the child nor adults can yet name. Thirdly, self-destructive behaviors as attempts to regulate unbearable states. Madness connects bipolar disorder with self-starvation, substance abuse, self-mutilation, risky behavior, and other forms of self-damage, but it does not reduce these behaviors to spectacle. Hornbacher presents them as maladaptive attempts to control states that feel otherwise uncontrollable. Eating disorder behaviors, drinking, drugs, sex, and injury become ways to slow down, intensify, numb, punish, focus, or escape the mind. This is one reason the memoir is difficult to read. The destructive acts are not framed as isolated bad choices, but as part of a system of survival that repeatedly turns against the first person using it. The reasoning behind this portrayal is important. If self-harm and addiction are viewed only as moral failures, the illness remains misunderstood. If they are viewed only as symptoms, personal agency disappears. Hornbacher holds both realities together, showing how bipolar disorder pressures behavior while still leaving devastating consequences in the body and in relationships. The book is strongest when it shows how temporary relief can become a long-term mechanism of damage. Fourthly, identity, illness, and the difficulty of separating the self from symptoms, a recurring problem in madness, is whether Hornbacher can distinguish who she is from what bipolar disorder has made her do, feel, and believe. The memoir shows that mental illness can become woven into identity, especially when symptoms begin early and remain unnamed for years. Mood states shape memory, style, ambition, sexuality, speech, and relationships, making it hard to identify a stable self beneath them. This is not only a philosophical problem, it has practical consequences. Treatment requires the author to recognize patterns as symptoms, but recovery also requires her not to dismiss her entire personality as pathology. The book, therefore, resists a neat before and after recovery structure. Hornbacher does not imply that diagnosis simply reveals a true self untouched by illness. Instead, she explores the uneasy process of living with a brain disorder while building an identity that includes what is not consumed by it. This topic distinguishes the memoir from more instructional books because it treats recovery as a problem of meaning, as well as medication, discipline, and support. Lastly, treatment, recovery, and the unfinished nature of stability. Although Madness contains extreme crisis, it is also a book about the long, uneven movement toward treatment and stability. Diagnosis matters because it gives a coherent explanation for years of chaos and allows a more appropriate approach to care. Medication, therapy, hospital intervention, sobriety, self-awareness, and support all appear as parts of recovery, but none is presented as magical or final. Hornbacher is especially clear that bipolar disorder continues to beckon even after diagnosis and treatment. This makes the memoir more realistic than stories that end with cure or total transformation. Stability is portrayed as maintenance, not victory in a simple sense. The author must learn to monitor patterns, accept limits, rebuild trust, and live with the possibility of recurrence. The intellectual value of this portrayal is that it corrects two common distortions: the belief that severe mental illness makes a meaningful life impossible, and the belief that recovery means the illness disappears. In Madness, recovery is possible, but it is ongoing, negotiated, and dependent on sustained care. In conclusion, Madness, A Bipolar Life is best suited for readers who want a direct, literary, and emotionally demanding account of severe bipolar disorder rather than a general self-help guide. It will be especially useful to people living with bipolar disorder, relatives trying to understand behavior that appears chaotic from the outside, clinicians interested in first-person accounts, and readers of mental health memoir who value complexity over reassurance. Its practical benefit is not a checklist of strategies, but a deeper understanding of why diagnosis, treatment, self-awareness, and compassion matter. It also helps readers see how addiction, eating disorders, self-harm, and relationship damage can be entangled with mood illness without being identical to it. Compared with many books on bipolar disorder, Madness stands out for its visceral style, its attention to early-onset symptoms, and its refusal to sanitize either mania or depression. Compared with more clinical works, it gives less systematic guidance but more access to lived experience. Compared with calmer recovery memoirs, it remains closer to the disorder's raw intensity and moral confusion. Its lasting value is its insistence that severe mental illness can be described honestly without reducing the person to diagnosis or turning recovery into a simple redemption. Story. If you would like to support Maria Hornbacher, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.